Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello, everyone. I am Reed.
And this is CSI Talks. Hey everyone, welcome back. Another week, another episode of Inside Talks. Hi. Before we get into today's episode, we just want to let y'all know that this is a safe space for you. Okay. This is a huge CSI family and you have a place here and we have a family here. Okay. The world might be a bad place right now, but you have us and we love you regardless of your gender, of your sexuality, you know, regardless of who you love. We love you. Okay. I feel like somebody out there needs to hear this. And we've got some great news. Cut to that meme of Kamala Harris. Good news. I love good news. The strike is over. Which means that the Vegas is going to return. I mean, season 3 was already in production before the strike began. So,
and that loud chewing was me eating my words.
Well, I told Bree to keep a positive point of view that everything was going to come back. CSI Vegas was one of the few TV shows that have been renewed that didn't get canceled. And everything's going to be okay right now. Lex, he made a post saying that he cannot wait to come back to Bo. We cannot wait to see Bo either, okay? He's our favorite CSI. It means that I can't come back to my campaign. Make Penny a series regular. Whoever's working on this show that is listening to me right now, make my girl Penny a series regular. We love her. We need her as a series regular. Okay, the episodes are not the same without her. I love that character so much. She'd be representing me every single episode. Okay, please make her a series regular. I'm literally begging.
This and have to make Penny cons.
Okay, sir. What is going to happen to Folsom? I've got some questions. What is going to happen to Folsom? Who is the new coroner? I need to know. Catherine is going to stay in Vegas, but what are they going to do with Josh? Also, what is the situation between Josh and Allie? Are they going to be together or not? And Serena and Josh, are they on a break? Are they not on a break? Are they going to be together?
You want to do Ross? We were on a break.
Well, technically, they're going to be on that break indefinitely since he's in jail. But I'm a Josh apologist. And I think he did not do it. Okay. Because first of all, he's a CSI. He'll be able to cover it up, even though he was under high emotions because his mom was killed and all that. But anyways, I need all those questions answered. I need to know what's going to happen to my boy Folsom. And also, who is the panda getting engaged to? Who is that guy? Who is him? And most importantly, is Bo gonna be her best man?
Well, I thought we had a pitch we knew because Penn did say you know him. I thought we had the theory.
You think it's Chris?
Yeah. Because Penn did say that Bo knew him, knew who she was engaged to.
See it. If it is him, I'm gonna be happy for my girl Penny. But what if it's someone else?
But we know that Bo knows him.
Okay, that is a very large concept because Bo knows everyone in the lab, okay? We know that Bo knows everyone, so who is that
but
guy?
That would have been, that probably would not have been said if it was just a random face in the lab. Had to be somebody who was more prominent.
If Bo knows him, does that mean that we all know him? I need to know who he is. Sarah Gilden, tell us, girl. Who is Sarah that we're not going to tell anyone. We're going to keep a secret.
I know how to keep a lot of secrets.
Yeah, we're going to keep a lot of secrets. No matter speak to keep secret, girl. Tell us. We're going to keep it secret. Because maybe you asked, when you saw that on the scripts, maybe you asked Brown who Penny was engaged to. Also, is Greg coming back to season 3?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but it'll be nice. Well, do we think that someone else is coming? Someone from the original cast is coming besides Catherine to season 3?
So, I don't think a fan favorite would ever, a living fan favorite would ever be back because of how he reacted during the series finale of Immortality. Another fan favorite is the character's dead. Another one I would love to see, the character is dead. Granted, that character died off screen. We have a few select that could come back. That if it's in somebody else.
Who do you have in mind?
Maybe Elizabeth Honoré.
Oh, I would love to see it.
Or even Eckley.
You think he could consult on the case?
Which, his name, the actor's name is Mark Van.
Oh, but you know what? Okay, guys, me and Bree, we were talking about this. We made a whole headphone. Yeah, we made a whole headcanon. Okay, here it goes. I was watching CSI on the extent, and there was this one episode that Nate Haskell says that he donated his bodily fluid to several clinics, okay? Not only his blood, all of it, okay? Even from his reproductive system. Even tweeted, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you probably saw it. And I said, oh, it would have been nice if a child from Nate Haskell comes back to the lab as a CSI. And
nobody knows who his biological father is.
Not even him.
Well, the thing is, they have to print and give DNA a lot of times as they get hired or things like that.
Yeah, but they don't do a parental DNA like Catherine did.
Yeah.
So something happens in the scene and this CSI, we're thinking he gets hurt in the scene. They have to process the scene and collect the sample and they have to run it through the database. And someone finds out, maybe Max, because she's a geneticist and she runs the DNA through her machine and she's a match to Nate Haskell. And she finds out that this CSI that she hired is actually a long lost son to this serial killer that the lab never even caught because he was killed in action. Well, quote unquote, killed, right? So Catherine has to fill everyone in on who Nate Haskell was. And what he did, but she's not going to tell everyone what happened, okay? She's not going to say that the team did eventually cover it up for one of their own.
And the fact that she got demoted.
Yeah, the fact that she got demoted, yeah. She's gonna caught up that Catherine is hiding something. She's not gonna ask, but she's gonna let it be. But this CSI that just found out that Nate Haskell is his father, he's gonna get upset about finding out who his father was.
And this is a case of nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
Which is a common theme if you take high level psychology courses.
Yeah, I studied that for my work.
I just took that normal
stuff. I studied that nature versus nurture for my completion work in college. Actually, when I was watching From the Mines, one of Gideon's lines ended up becoming the title for my completion work because it was so much better than the title that I came up with. Anyways, so that is the headcanon that we came up with, but we don't think it's going to happen. It's so cool to happen.
I mean, too out of the box.
Yeah. Like, Natalie David's making a comeback. We don't know. We don't think that is ever going to happen. I mean, this type of thing, it wouldn't happen. It has the potential to be such a great storyline because maybe if Josh gets released from prison and they get faced with this storyline and then they have to be like, okay, how are we going to behave around this guy that is the son of a serial killer? You know, he could be a serial killer too. He could turn out to be one. It could be a very cool storyline, but I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't think they're gonna go down that road because it's too dark even for CSI.
And that's kind of, you know, jumping the shark.
Yeah, I don't think they would do it.
This episode is from season 10, the episode Lost and Found.
Yeah, when I saw that it was from season 10, I was like, oh great, it's a DBR episode, and then I remember, no, it's not DB yet. We're not there yet. As you all know, I love DB. But
so it's why I watched Cheers, because Ted Danson was one of the main characters in that show. But no,
Exactly. The number of the episode is episode 21 is what's been found. I'm surprised that we're not covering episode 22 of season 10, which is Doctor Who. Can't see if you got the reference. It's because Bree, it's a Whovian. She loves Doctor Who.
I never love Doctor Who. Come on. I'm obsessed.
She's obsessed. This is a Catherine era, okay? What is happening in this era? Brisson left to be with Sarah in Costa Rica. As far as we know, they're happy.
No, this is season 10 after Sarah came back and they're married. First episode of season 10, Family Affair. This is 21. This is one of the Sarah episodes in season 21.
As far as we know, they are happy.
So, okay, we know they are happy. It's not as far as we know because Sarah says all blushing stuff, still talking about their marriage.
Yeah, and I love how Sarah makes like a baseball analogy and Catherine's like,
what?
And then,
just a few episodes before, it was the episode Long Ball and Greg and Sarah joking about her marriage and about how Greg assumed Brisbane played golf.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's so sweet that Catherine and Sarah have that moment and Sarah gives Catherine that advice and Catherine is like, why are you making baseball analogies? And Sarah's like, apparently part of being married is sharing your spouse's hobbies.
Inner interests.
Yeah, the official synopsis of this episode is the crime lab reopens the investigation of the disappearance of a woman's
and it
husband.
Happens because the woman is involved in an accident because she was walking along a dark road as three ladies for a black bachelorette weekend were in a convertible driving.
The crime lab reopens the investigation of the disappearance of a woman's husband, daughter, and son when a potential murder weapon is found in her car. It's apparently a missing case. Even though there's a murder weapon involved, it's a missing case.
It's a cold case.
That is a true fact. If a missing person is not found within the first 48 hours, the chances of that person being found decrease a lot. And I know that most people believe that if someone goes missing, you have to wait 48 hours before we report them missing. No, if someone that you love goes missing and you think that is really strange and you cannot get in contact with them, no matter what, you go to the police and you tell them that that person is missing. Okay? Do not wait 24 hours. Go and tell them that the person you love is missing and bring something with their DNA, maybe. A toothbrush, an airbrush, something with their DNA, because it's extremely important for them to try and find that person. And the chances of them of finding them in the first 24 hours are higher. There's a bachelorette party and happening in Vegas. I mean,
one of the most common areas if you can afford to have a bachelorette weekend, and if you don't live too far away.
A bachelorette party, and it's kind of expensive though.
Yeah, it was.
It's too expensive, especially in Las Vegas, though. They are driving and on a highway, and then they're pulling alongside a trucker that's flashing them. They are actually being alerted to another car, a car that is coming their way. They decide to swerve over to another way, and they drive into the desert. It's clear that they're kind of under the influence when they do that. And they hit a woman that is standing. They hit a woman that is literally out in the desert that is holding a flashlight.
And it's
pitch black. Okay? Like, first of all, what is that woman doing in the middle of the night holding a flashback?
She saw a psychic that said she will find her family in that area.
Okay. Here's the deal. There was no conclusive evidence that points out the psychic get it right, although psychics sometimes help police.
Kind of like the one episode where Greg talks about his third eye.
Yeah. Sometimes psychics help. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they get it wrong. If you do believe it, great. That's great for you. If you don't believe it, that's fine too. There's this famous psychic that helps police investigators with cases, and I've heard about him through Des Moines, and he most recently, I think, he helps with the case of the Long Island serial killer. In an interview that I've heard from him, he said that they couldn't give much. But anyways, I'm not going to get into been much here, but I don't know, you guys. If you do believe it, you do. If you don't, you don't. Okay, it's all your belief. Okay.
Like, I'm 50-50.
The CSIs are called to the scene, and the girls are there. That woman is taken to the hospital, even though she says that she claims that she's okay. Listen, do you know him? Don't remember him? I don't even know how many cases with him.
We have done a number of episodes with him, and he's played by Lawrence Fishburne, who is the people who are like before Gen X, Gen Y, you know, millennials. They know him.
Yeah,
you know, some millennials do, some Gen Zers, some millennials.
Yeah. One of his most famous roles is from The Matrix. We know him from The Matrix, but he went to CSI when it was like this thing of like famous actors going into TV shows. That's why you see those very famous faces or famous TV shows sometimes.
Not including Mark Shepard, who's in almost every nerd show at least once.
Yeah. So, Ray and Nick, they're taking a look at the car, and the car has a flat tire, and I said it belongs in the hospital. Press recognizes the victim. Press knows her. Nick gets to the hospital, and she tells Press that her car was abandoned a mile away from the scene. Her key and her wallet was in the driver's seat. And Nick was about to fill him in on who the victim was, and Brett was like, yeah, I know her. And Nick was too stunned to speak. Brett tells Nick that the victim was Janet Morris, who was from Seven Hills. 3 years ago, her husband, Mike, and her two kids, Andy and Emily, they went missing. The SUV was found abandoned on the I-15 with blood inside. Nick tells Brass that Jenna was hit on the same part of the world, and Brass thinks that she was out looking for her family. Brass shows him pictures of family, and he tells Nick that it was a case that he was never able to let go, that's why he keeps a picture of the family inside his wallet. Kind of reminds me of drawing comparison here with Criminal Minds. If you watch Criminal Minds, you probably know what I'm going to say. Gideon of Criminal Minds has
Rossi. Rossi has kept in touch with that one family.
Yeah, but I was going to say that Gideon has a lot of pictures of the victims that he saves. The pictures on his office what turned out to be Rossi's office. But anyways, Nick is asking for more details on the case, and Brass fills him in saying that Jenny came home from work, couldn't find her family, and called the police. And they found the SUV that was abandoned with blood that belonged to her husband and her daughter, and bloody pajamas from her son. And the amount of blood indicated that it was a serious injury, but it was not enough to confirm death. Even with that much evidence, the case went cold because they didn't have a suspect. And Janet kept returning to the scene to find more clues. Brett tells Nick that he think that her brother, Bill Cornwell, was the killer. And because he ran a construction company with Mike, Janet's husband, and he had a motive for murder. But he had an alibi. And he had an alibi when everything went down. Brass goes to talk to Janet before Nick comes in to process her. Of course, Brass is worried about her, okay? This is the one case that he couldn't solve, and that woman's still out there looking for clues on her family. Nick comes in to process her, and Janet tells him that she was calling her. A psychic told her that Andy was dry, yet near water. It makes sense why she would go to a desert. In the desert, it's dry, but near water. But I don't get it why she would go to that part of the desert, even because there's no water by that part of the desert. I mean, I could be wrong. If you live in Las Vegas and that part of the desert has water nearby. Anyways, she told Nick that she knows that Las Vegas was built on the round springs. She got a map and she discovered that there's a spring where the SUV was found. And she said that she could hear Andy calling out for her. And she was chosen to find an error that so was. She never got the same premonition from her husband or her daughter. Okay, lady. So Greg is on the scene in the desert, and he does find the flashlight with fresh wood on the grid. And he thinks it belongs to Janet. He brings it to Wendy, and Wendy disassembles. When she processes it, she finds dried blood and the hair and the ring around the lenses. She tells Greg what she found. And you're like, this has to come from an earlier event. This couldn't be from Janet. You get it? Because Janet was using that flashlight before. Like, those hair and blood that they found had to be from someone else, because it made an impact hard enough to damage any tissue on the skin that it made contact with. They run it, and the blood and the tissue came back to Andy, meaning that she was searching for her son with the flashlight that killed him. Now she is the prime suspect. I get it why they would think she would be the prime suspect, because she was holding the murder weapon. But I don't think she would have known. Because if she was the killer, she would have tossed it. She would have thrown it away. She becomes a prime suspect, but Nick tells Catherine, ain't no way. There's no way that woman is the killer. She might be a bit crazy, but she's not the killer. And Catherine tells him, we are looking at the father, not the mother. Their opinions might be different. So Greg, Nick, and Bress, they go to her house. They visit her at her house and tell her what they found out from the flashlight. And she tells them that she had that flashlight for at least 10 years, and she keeps it in her kitchen drawer. Greg and Nick, they go to the kitchen, and they find a police scanner.
Ma'am, why do you have a police scanner? A lot of people do have one in their houses, especially these days.
Well, I don't have one. They see the police scanner, but Janet says that she never listens to it. If you have a police scanner, why would you say that you don't listen to it? It's obvious she has a police scanner to see if they ever will ever find a body that matches the description of her family. In the kitchen, Greg is like, why would a random murderer use a flashlight as a weapon instead of a knife in the counter? I mean, he is right, because a knife would have done the job. Oh my God, why am I saying this? He's right, because a knife would have done the job a lot quicker than a flashlight. With a flashlight, the murderer would have to use the flashlight a lot more times and use a lot more strength. But with a knife, the murderer would have to use a lot less strength and cause a lot more damage. It would be a lot more quicker. I mean, he has a point. They're like, okay, since it was a flashlight, the murder weapon, they think it was someone from the family because they used the flashlight and they put it back in the drawer. So it was a family or family friend. Back in the lab, Catherine and Ray, they're going over the original case. Janet came home from work at midnight and actually waited for hours before calling 911. It would give her a 4-hour window to kill her family, clear up, dispose of the bodies, dump the SUV, 23 miles from her house. That would be about 37 kilometers away from it. That would be a reasonable distance. And Ray thinks that is way too much for a person to do. We're talking about 3 bodies to dispose of. I mean, it's enough to dispose of one body, let alone 3. And he says that if Janice is really guilty, that means she would have had help. But her phone record said that she actually called her brother the day. Maybe she could have called him for help to cover it up, the murders too. But her brother's alibi is actually solid. It's airtime, and there is no way they could have questioned it. And when they did search his house and car, they found nothing that would link him to the crime. Catherine and Ray, they're like, what about her sighting? Ray is like, maybe it's her guilt that made her go to the desert. And Catherine's like, she did that to drive the suspicion away from her. Catherine has a point. Although we would realize later that what was actually happening in her house. Greg is going through Emily's room, it's the daughter's room, which was just like, would last just the way it was, the bitch was missing. I mean, that is a common occurrence when a child goes missing. The parent usually leaves it the way that the child left before they went missing. And yes,
we take a scene I remember reading.
Yeah. He found a spot of mold of Emily's hands on the wall, which means they have the fingerprints, right? The fingerprints have red details, so he prints that. And her journal is also found among the books on the floor. Next is searching Andy's room, which is in the same condition. Like, why would Janet continue to renew her son's magazine subscriptions? You know, that's one of the cases that I think it would have been nice for the CSIs to add a profiler to their team, because a profiler would have been able to answer those questions, like, why would Janet keep renewing the subscriptions? Because she's grieving. She's grieving her son, even though he's missing.
Presumed dead.
He's presumed dead. She is grieving. Sometimes kids die and parents keep buying gifts for them on holidays or on birthdays.
So, and that's even something common with military.
Yeah. And that's why I think that would have been nice, because the CSI looks at that and they don't understand that. They think it's something that a normal person wouldn't do, but that is the way a human would have behaved. Greg goes through Emily's journal, and on the last entry, she mentions that she wants for unidentified male to go away. And she wrote in that journal every day for a year, and she stopped 5 months before she disappeared. Nick says that Brad has never even mentioned that Emily had a boyfriend. So they're presuming that Emily had a boyfriend and she was probably in an abusive relationship. They think that the boyfriend wouldn't know his way around the house. They're right about this person, but they're right about who the person was. Since her journal doesn't have a name, they are questioning if this boyfriend would be someone her parents would know or even approve. Russ and Janet, they're walking. Little Russ is talking to her, and she tells him that she believes that her son's still alive, which is also common. Parents would believe until proven with unreasonable doubt that their child is alive. He says there is a difference between giving up and letting go. And he is trying to tell her to let go. Yeah, Brett, you should tell yourself that. And have you met you and your daughter, Ellie?
Well, he eventually did give up until he's sober again.
Janet's house. Bill, the brother, he shows up and he introduces himself to Nick. That's when a profiler will be good. Because someone that committed a crime will insert themselves in an investigation. Anyways, he introduces himself to Nick. He says that he went to check up on Janet every day because of what is happening to her. Nick is like, oh, have you ever met any of Emily's boyfriend? But he tells him that she never brought anyone home because of her protected father and bad relationship with her mother. Ray shows up to help Nick and Greg process the house, and he and Nick start to search their garage, which has also never been touched since the family disappeared. They spray luminol all around the garage, and they find on the wall leading from the crawl space above the garage. They go up the crawl space, and they trace the stain and its fluid until a U.S. arm full block. Nick sees a leaky pipe above it and remembers what this hiking told Janet.
Remembering a dry place, but near water.
Dry place, yeah, but near water. They open the foot locker and they find Andy's mummified remains. He was wearing the pajamas bottom, which is consistent with what he was wearing on the night he disappeared. Nick calls Brad and tells him what they found. And when he tells Janet, she completely breaks down because she realizes that her son was acting with her the entire time. That must have been heartbreaking, right? Anyways, My favorite sequence is in CSI, the autopsy. Back in autopsy, Doc Robbins, he cannot confirm the identity of the mummified remains because it's been way too long. But he does tell Ray that they are consistent with an average 9-year-old. And that the decay is also very consistent with a boy that has been dead for 3 years. And Doc Robbins says that COD was born for trauma to the skull. And the wound is compatible with objects that it was the size and shape of fleshlights. He died from a blunt force trauma to the skull by a fleshlight. But who did that? Okay, who killed the boy? Now, it is a murder investigation. It's not a missing investigation. It still is a missing investigation because now we have the father and the daughter are still missing. But the boy is dead. Ackley tells Bress that now they have so much evidence against Janet because her son was found in her attic and the weaponry was in her possession. He's not wrong, okay? I know we all complain about Ackley all the time, but he's not wrong about this. They have all this evidence against Janet and his body was never in the SUV. He means his pajama stuff was planted there. He wants Janet to be taken into custody, despite Brad's protests that wouldn't be nice. Says that Janet did not kill her family. Brad has not taken up the case, but he cannot talk to Janet anymore. So Bress is watching the interrogation while Nick and Ackley, they're questioning Janet about the sleepwalker where her son was found. And she said that he used to house in this camping equipment and that her family went camping before everything happened. And when they returned home from the camping trip with Emily, she saw that either Mike or Bill put the sleepwalker back in his place. And Ackley is just, you know, staring at her like in a very Ackley way. And she loses it. She freaks out and says that she did not kill her family and she cannot live like this. And she says that she's been hiring psychics and going out in the middle of the night to look for her family and she cannot sleep. I mean, this is a point too. Her family has been missing for a very long time and she's been hiring so many people to find them. Give her a break, Ackley. Ray tells Reg that he was able to recover prints from the footlocker. And one of the prints came back to Mike. So in that position, say that he was trying to pick the footlocker up. But a print from under the lake isn't a match to any of the suspects. Okay. Ray says that they don't have any prints on file for the kids. Greg is like, oh, but we do, because I remember the print on the mold from Emily's room. They run that print against the print that they found in the lead, but they still don't get a match, right? But they still decide to run the prints through a fence, and they get a hit belonged to Hope Wilson. And it's the same birthday as Emily, and the picture is very similar to Emily. Hope/Emily is arrested outside of Reno and brought back to Vegas for interrogation. And she also has a 3-year-old son, Connor, who is put under child protection service.
And so, Nick is really good with him. Like, always he's good with kids, but my God.
Nick is super, he's really, Nick will be a great father one day. Like, seriously. Catherine is she's not really that sweet with Emily. Emily, she doesn't say where her father is, and she refuses to say who clone her father is. Catherine collects Emily's DNA to find everything out. Nick tells Ray that according to Emily's neighbors, she was married to an older guy, Doug. Ray decides to go through the birth records of Nevada, and she finds out that Doug is Connor's father, but Doug is the same age as Mike would currently be. Mike, the husband, the father. And when they pull out the photo, he's just like Mike. They realize that the father and the daughter has been living together as husband and wife. And Emily was pregnant before the family disappeared. Bress tells Janet that Emily is safe and alive, but things are complicated. Didn't Emily tell Brad to stop talking to Janet?
Yeah. But nobody on CSI ever listens to orders.
Yeah. So not Emily is alive. Mike is alive. And also Emily has a 3-year-old. Brad gets interrupted and he's told that Mike is actually waiting for him. He tells an officer to escort Janet away from the area. But Mike yells at Brad and says that Emily is innocent. And he says that he accidentally tried to kill Andy. He accidentally killed Andy. And then he made a decision to run and he took Emily with him. So when Janet heard this, she gets filled with so much hatred. So she gets a gun from an officer, get in the hallway and shoots Mike in the chest and kills him.
And out comes the daughter saying, "Dad."
Yeah. So Greg finds out that Mike isn't actually Connor's father. The real father has 7 common illegals with Janet. Yeah, so here's the deal. Emily was being sexually abused and assaulted by her uncle, and she got pregnant from him. Emily tells Catherine that she didn't want her uncle coming to her house anymore, but Janet did not listen to her. One night, Bill made an unannounced visit, and he sexually assaulted already pregnant Emily. He caught it through a crack in the bedroom door. And when Bill left, Andy confronted Emily and threatened to tell their mother about it. Emily hit him in the head with a flashlight to shut him up, and she accidentally killed him. And when Mike came home,
Emily had gone to her mom saying, "I don't want my uncle to come over anymore." But her mom just did not know what was going on or did not believe anything bad could be happening.
I mean, probably she wouldn't believe it. And Emily told her dad what happened, and Mike decided that he would sever all ties with the family so they could end his body in the slow locker. They planted the body pajama in the SUV, left it in the abandoned desert, and left to start a new life. Brad tells Janet that there will be no charges against Emily, but Janet was like, "Oh, my daughter's gonna be a better mother than me." "Oh, you don't say. You don't say, Janet." And says that all of this happened because Emily knew her mother would never forgive her. Really. Anyways, her uncle is going to be charged with sexual abuse. I mean, at least that. I don't think there's a statute of limitation on sexual abuse, at least in Las Vegas. Nick takes Connor back to Emily, and Brad lets go of the photo. If you, one small thing, if you are going through something similar that Emily's going through, or if you know somebody that is going through something similar, go to the authorities. Tell them what is happening. Because nowadays, the authorities are a lot more likely to believe you than they were back in the day. It's not you need evidence to prove that the abuse happened. If you need the abuse to stop happening, then do it.
It can be very dangerous to report it.
Yeah. And I know that after something like that happened, you just wanted to take it all off of you. But as we've seen it in CSI, if you go to the police and they will get the evidence from your body. We've told you guys before, if you ever get attacked, get that DNA under your fingernails. Get that DNA. Maybe they'll get a hint or something. Because this is really disgusting, what happened to that little girl. And most of the time, when that thing happens between family members, the family members will not believe it. And it's really bad. I mean, especially in this patriarchy family. And if you think that nobody believes you, I just want to tell you that we do.
Yeah.
We believe you. We believe you and we love you and we support you. And go and tell the authorities what is happening to you. Because you deserve to be heard. You deserve to be heard and you deserve to get your justice, however long it takes. I mean, justice might take a long time to come, but it does come. So just go and do it. And we love you.
We do.
So what episode are we covering next week, Reed?
Squeagle. Squeagle.
Yeah, I love Squeagle. Yeah, Squeagle's a great episode. It's a great storyline. I wish he had come back for another episode. He can come back for season 3. CSI Vegas. Red Earth. Bring Squeagle back.
That's why I love it so much.
Sometimes it gives me nightmares still. I mean, CSI Vegas writers. Bring Squeagle back. I mean, it would be great if Catherine feels that mean on Squeagle. So yeah, bring Squeagle back. We love you guys so much. Stay safe, love y'all. Everyone.
Stay safe, stay healthy, stay warm, stay dry. Bye-bye.
Drink your water. Love you.